Don't be afraid of the dark. Just relax and let the darkness fall over you.
Welcome to Afraidish, a podcast where we take a deep dive into the history and paranormal while enjoying some tasty adult beverages. From ghost sightings to hauntings, urban legends and cryptids, let's get weird and afraid-ish together. Hello and welcome to episode 24.
Woohoo!
Yay! So how have we been?
We didn't introduce ourselves.
Well, I'm Paul.
And I'm Ashley.
And we are husband and wife, and I've been drinking a little bit.
I've been drinking more.
I went out with some friends after work to a local brewery, and they have some amazing beer.
Yeah.
I haven't been a fan of dark beer for a while, but they have like really good dark beer.
Yeah. Is it ale?
No, actually.
So is some it, of, it's some lager?
Of it is, some of it is. Some of it is just a dark ale. Dark lagers, I guess. And they've just been really good. Every time I go there, I've been there like 3 times already.
Okay.
And it's really good.
Cool.
And I'm on my second beatbox.
That's your second beatbox?
Yes.
You have two of the same flavor?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's very
I thought
good.
That was...
That's one of my favorites. Blue raspberry.
Yeah. I've already had a beatbox. I had the peach one. And now I'm on... I had some of that leftover margarita from the last episode. But I got some prickly pear cactus syrup from the liquor store. And so it tastes a lot more like prickly pear cactus this time than just straight. I don't even think it's tequila. It's like a wine cocktail. It's weird, but it's a pretty bottle, so I'm not mad at it.
All right, that's good. All right, so I'd like to shout out Grayson and Marty and Wong and Justin and Sam for all hanging out with me.
Whoop whoop! It's the whoop whoop crew.
Anyways, thanks guys. See you at work.
Aww.
Anyways, so last episode I did not have any fun facts or anything. This episode I have fun facts about cemeteries for us.
Ooh, fun stuff.
Yeah. So for this episode, we did not get a chance to go visit this place like I wanted because we've been just so busy.
Yeah.
This week. And fortunately, this is 1 week after the last episode, so I'm kind of getting in the groove of getting episodes out.
Well, don't count your eggs before they hatch.
Well, I know. I'm just saying. So this
year... We were in the groove of getting episodes out, and then June happened.
Well, I know, but this year, other than... that situation has been fairly good for me as far as getting episodes out. So I'm kind of excited about getting more content.
We haven't talked about this. I mean, we have, but we haven't like really talked about it. I think it would be fun for the YouTube channel. I know you upload the podcast episodes.
Yeah.
But like if we were to go on like ghost excursions.
That would be for the Patreon that I would
That
like.
Would be just for the Patreon.
Yes, because I started an account for Afraidish on Patreon.
I was thinking that it would be a better way to draw people to our podcast via YouTube. So putting up a paywall kind of.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we could do that kind of stuff for YouTube and then, like...
I mean, like, Amy's Crypt, they do, like, their super compelling shit that happens goes to Patreon. Okay. Like, she'll, in episodes, for those of you that don't know, that aren't in the paranormal world, the paranormal investigation world, Amy's Crypt is a phenomenal YouTube channel. They're an Australian husband and wife. They're the creators of the GhostTube suite of apps. A lot of people are familiar with the apps and they don't know where they come from. So if you're familiar at all with GhostTube, it's created by Jared and Amy from Amy's Crypt. They will do, like, they'll record bonus content for their Patreons or they'll be recording content and something will happen that's like super duper compelling. Sometimes they'll put it into their Patreon, which like frustrates me as someone who can't afford to like patronize a bunch of different people.
Yeah, I get it.
But like, I'm like, okay, I could join their Patreon, watch all the fucking bonus content and then stop subscribing. But then I feel bad about doing that because
people do that all the time though.
I know, but I as a small business owner,
yeah, that's
who
true.
Relies on regulars, yeah. Like that feels really shitty. So I just don't subscribe to anyone's Patreon, period. Yeah. Because I want to support everybody, but I can't afford to. So I will watch your videos. I'll watch the ads. But yeah, but a lot of times, not all the time, because they do have lots of compelling evidence in their regular YouTube videos. But sometimes
I like their videos. I'll watch them when you watch them, which mm-hmm. the ones that I have watched are really, really good.
Yeah, they're very respectful. Like the antithesis of
basically,
Zach Bagans.
Yeah, the opposite of Zach Bagans and Ghost Adventures, which
And then there's through Amy's Crypt, I have discovered the Paranormal Scholar, and she has another channel that's under her name. She created a documentary called In Search of the Dead. I want to run it or buy it on Vimeo because it's like $3.99 to run or $8.99 to buy or whatever. And I think doing like watching it and like recording our reaction to it would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But then on her YouTube channel, she also has another video that is like an off branch of that documentary. It's like an hour and a half long. And she basically solves a 150-year-old murder of a woman in the United Kingdom.
That is insane.
Like, straight up, like, they have proof of this woman's existence. They found her death certificate. An actual doctor who's into the paranormal, like, clarified some information on the death certificate that was like, yeah, they got this wrong. She didn't drown. She was placed in the water after the fact.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've listened to some podcasts. Well, there's a podcast that I haven't really listened to that have he actually has solved some murders from a certain.
No, but this was like paranormal. Like using a Ouija board to communicate with the spirit of this woman who solved her own murder.
No, I get it. I'm just saying that there's another podcast that. True crime podcast.
Right.
That has actually solved some murders.
Right. Well, it's not recognized that she solved the murder because the law doesn't recognize spirit board communication. But like the information that was given on the spirit board can be backed up through the record, which they found the death certificate and an actual real life flesh and blood physician basically said, this doesn't mean anything. She was placed in the water after the fact.
Yeah, I mean, when was she murdered?
1850-something?
Yeah, back then, like, those doctors didn't really...
Exactly. Well, so what had happened was she disappeared in February.
Right.
And her body was found in the river that they had dredged, the river where she disappeared, in April. 10 weeks after she disappeared. Showing signs of dry decomposition, not wet decomposition. Her lungs were empty, which the doctor said that really doesn't mean anything because you can do a dry drowning. It's where your larynx basically like you suffocate instead of drowning because your body's trying not to let the water in, but you die anyway.
Right.
But he was like, given the state of the body, she did not decompose in the water. So the dude that killed her basically like kept, she was deceased the whole time he had her. And then 10 weeks later, he placed her in the water. And the spirit board communication backs that up, that she died at the water's edge and was taken by boat somewhere and then was brought back.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's so compelling.
Yeah.
Like, sure, she could have done all this research and done all that and then made up the spirit board communication. But I don't know. You'd have to watch the video. Just the way that she details it out and everything. I don't know. It's hard for me to be like, she's lying.
Yeah. Whether you're a believer or not, that stuff is just really compelling and interesting to watch and listen to.
I mean, I'm very agnostic when it comes to, like, anything is possible and nothing is possible all at the same time. There's so much that is unproven that I recognize it's unproven. It's pseudoscience, but at the same time, like, it makes you think, right? Like, literally anything is possible, so why can't that be possible?
Yeah. It's... It's just whatever you want to believe. It's whatever. I mean, I'm into it. You're into it, obviously. But
I'm super into it. Like, but again, like, I'm not a hard believer, but I'm also not like a hard skeptic.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm an agnostic believer. Like, I'm agnostic to the fact that I'm totally aware that this could all be just a bunch of hocus pocus,
right,
and buffoonery. But I choose to operate under the assumption that anything is possible, so this could be possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and if anybody hears a little rattling in the background, Hershey's laying on the couch and wants a lot of attention. So, that's just him being a brat. All right, let's go ahead and get into it. Like I said, I have 5 fun facts about cemeteries.
5 fun facts about cemeteries.
Yeah, I'll have that in post. 5 fun facts. All right. Number one, I'll basically tell you what kind of cemeteries and burials.
Okay.
Number one, vertical burial.
Oh, fun!
In crowded cities with limited space, cemeteries are often utilize vertical burial practices. For instance, the Cimetière des Innocents in Paris, France, was so overcrowded that in the late 18th century, the bones of over 6 million people were transferred to the catacombs of Paris,
yes,
creating an underground ossuary and an eerie tourist attraction.
Yes. Amy's Crypt actually did the catacombs
in Paris. That would be so fun.
Yeah.
There's a video of a guy that went down there with the video camera, and he went crazy, couldn't find his way out, dropped his camera, and you can see him go...
That's not true.
Well, I know. Just
because, like, you can't get to the catacombs without, like, an experienced guide.
I don't know. This is what...
It was staged for social media. Yeah,
probably.
I mean, I don't know. But my inclination is it was staged. Because in order to get into the catacombs, you have to know someone who knows someone who knows someone who goes with you.
I don't know. It was a thing.
Right.
So...
Well, and also, like, parts of the catacombs are open for, like, tours. Like, you pay, and they tour you through it.
Right.
But for the parts that aren't open, like I said, you have to have a guide that takes you.
So, I don't know how true that is, but that was the thing.
Yeah. Anyway. I don't know.
Anyways. Number 2. Garden cemeteries. Garden cemeteries, also known as rural or landscape cemeteries, emerged in the 19th century as a response to overcrowded and poorly maintained urban churchyards. These cemeteries were designed as serene and scenic park-like settings, often featuring beautiful landscaping, sculptures, and architecture. Example includes Père Lachaise Cemetery in Paris and Mount Auburn Cemetery in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Number 3, high-tech memorials.
Mm.
Modern cemeteries have embraced technology to create unique and interactive memorials.
Wonder how much that costs.
Probably a lot. I've actually seen some of these.
Really?
Some headstones now incorporate QR codes, allowing visitors to access digital profiles, photos, and memories of the deceased, offering a more personalized and immersed experience.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But how fucking expensive are headstones? Having them, I'm guessing it's engraved into the headstone or printed on the brass plaque. Yeah. That shit's expensive.
Well, if you've got the money and you want to show off. But a lot of
people don't have the money and they're manipulated by these funeral directors into like, well, if you really loved grandma, you'd put her in the premium casket that costs more than a Mercedes. Yeah, you know?
It's a monopoly and it's ridiculous how expensive burials are.
Yes. We had a phenomenal, unusually phenomenal experience with Justin.
Yeah.
That ended up being like less than what we anticipated it being.
Yes.
Which was a blessing. But just transporting him from Texas and then having him, he had to be embalmed in Texas.
Yes.
And then pay for the transportation and then the cremation here in Springfield. It was a lot.
Yep.
It's a racket.
Yeah.
And I watch a lot of another YouTube channel called Ask a Mortician, and she like breaks it all down and is like, yeah, it's fucking gross. Yep. It's gross. The industry. The billion-dollar industry that is the death industry.
It's ridiculous.
Anyway. your fun facts that I'm just ruining.
No, it's just I have that kind of stuff in my mind, like how ridiculous like that kind of stuff is.
You dealt with it with Kendra.
I did, but I didn't. I didn't pay for it.
You didn't. But you would have had to.
I would have.
And yes. Given how like beautiful her headstone is and everything, I'm guessing that it was expensive.
It would have cost me, well, at the time, over $5,000, yes.
Really?
Well, yeah. I don't know how much.
So probably about $13,000 in today's money.
I don't know how much that would cost. It costs, because her grandpa stepped in.
Right.
Because her parents did not.
Right. Her parents were like, you're the husband. You deal with it.
Let me rephrase that. Her dad and stepmom.
So. Right.
Yeah.
Her mom was already deceased.
Yeah. Back in the 80s. Yeah.
So dad, stepmom, equal parents.
Yeah. So they did not step in at all.
Yeah.
And they put it on me. And then fortunately, her grandpa stepped in because I couldn't literally do anything at the time.
Would you have had her cremated?
I don't know.
No.
Because it was a long issue. Basically, I don't know.
I mean, I get it. It's death of a spouse. It's not something I really care to imagine, so.
Oh. Basically, yeah. Ever since I had an issue ever since she went to the hospital. And her parents are like, okay, what do you want to do? They put it all on me.
So, on the one hand, you being the husband, you knew her. She had to have had final wishes. Just
she didn't
being as sick as she was.
She didn't want to be a vegetable, but long story short, it was up to me to pull the plug or not. So
that's
yeah,
man.
Basically, you know, we don't care either way. What do you want to do, Paul?
It was you don't care either way, and not you're the husband.
I mean, they were sad.
But on the one hand,
you know.
So hypothetically, if something were to happen to you,
right?
I understand that a lot of the decisions would be up to me, being the closest person to you,
right?
Knowing you as well as I do.
But when you're on the spot like that, it's harder than you think.
Not having a support person. Like helping talk you through, just being like, what do you want to do?
Right.
Instead of being like, okay, so here are your options. What do you think Paul would have wanted?
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit different being with her for 2 years compared to us being together for 13 years.
Well, almost 13 in September.
Yeah. That's a little different.
It is different. Yes. Yeah. But it still, like you were her husband.
It's true.
You were the next of kin. But also, like, if her dad was just being like, I don't want to deal with this.
Well, he was.
Her dad was also grieving, too.
And dying from the same thing at the same time.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that. Yeah.
So.
Very complicated, complex situation with many moving parts. Nobody knows how they're going to react in a situation like this.
But she did have her wishes. She was buried next to her real mom. Let me say, biological mom.
Birth mom, yeah.
Yes. And that,
does she know her mom?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was an ordeal. And, yeah.
Yeah.
I got to decide everything on my own. And I'm glad, thankfully, her grandfather, rest in peace, he took care of everything.
Yeah.
So.
I'm happy that he was able to help you with that. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. That's fucking a lot, yeah. Man. That's fucking a lot. I need a drink.
It was rough. And here's to our deceased loved ones. So.
Her ancestors.
Yep. All right.
I have a question.
Yes.
Before you move on to your fat, while it's on my brain, do you ever feel like she's around? I know it's been a long time.
I think about her a lot, meaning maybe she's like in my dreams or whatever.
Okay.
But I don't think ever, like when she first passed away, I had like a realistic dream. I think I talked about this in episode 2 at the end. When I was grieving right before I stayed with her brother for a few weeks or so.
So you were still staying in the apartment?
Yes.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it was
rough. Was that the haunted apartment on top of everything, or was this a different apartment?
This was different.
Okay.
So the haunted apartment was in Monette when we literally first met.
Oh, okay.
She moved in with me like the next day.
So you lived in the haunted apartment alone?
No, I had a roommate.
Oh.
It wasn't bad until
she moved in?
No, it wasn't bad until my ex-roommate moved out.
The one that moved to Seattle?
No.
No?
This was Monette.
I don't know.
Okay. So back in 2004. No, this would be 2003, 2004. I lived in Monette and worked at a grocery store.
Uh-huh.
Literally like right
behind your apartment complex. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I lived in an apartment complex right behind the grocery store.
Right.
So, I wish our rent was like that much, because I paid like $300.
Yeah. And that, rent. But that was expensive then for how much you were making.
Anyways. So after that, I met her after my grandma went to the hospital.
Yes.
And went to the Aurora Bowling Alley where mm-hmm. everybody hung out, the parking lot. And I saw her hanging on one of my best friends. And her and I got to talking. And then
Was she with him as his date?
Well, they were hanging. I don't know. They were hanging on each other. So basically, we went to a friend's house to party more.
After the bowling alley, yeah.
And we drank a lot. So her and
it's
I went
9/11.
We went outside to smoke, her and I.
Okay.
And then whoever was outside went inside and left us two alone. And we got to talking, got to know each other. And then all of a sudden I was like, because I was like my early 20s and horny.
Right.
So, I'm like, so do you want to go back to my place and hang out?
Uh-huh, hang out.
Yeah.
Netflix and chill.
She was pretty drunk.
Oh.
I didn't know very much. I was like,
you were a almost, virgin. Basically.
I was basically a virgin.
Well, you have lost your virginity, but only just.
Just, like once. Anyways, when I was 21. And I met her when I was
21. We don't need to rehash your virginity story, Paul.
So her and I went back to my place. And, well, before that, I told my best friend I was taking her. I was leaving with her. He was kind of sad because he came there with her.
Right.
So I was like,
Bogarted his woman.
I'm like, I'm going to go hang out with Kendra. And so we went back to my place and hung out.
And mm-hmm. And then she basically moved in that weekend.
Yeah, the next day she basically, because she was just staying with her grandparent, grandpa, because her grandmother passed away. So, which was in Aurora, and we hung out in Aurora.
Mm-hmm.
So she moved in the next day and became my next roommate. And...
But the question was, originally, do you ever feel her around still? But also, when did the apartment start getting haunted?
Oh, sorry. I was just like reliving my mind.
I know. It's okay. It's all right.
But, no. So one day later on, she was a feeler. She felt energies and stuff. She's like, I feel something in the kitchen. I was in the living room and it was an like open kitchen and living room area. Mm-hmm. I walk in there and immediately knew who was there. And I dropped to my knees. It was my grandma who passed away just after her and I met. So after that, stuff started happening. Like her and I was, my bed was against the wall in my bedroom.
Uh-huh.
She would sleep against the wall and I would sleep like toward the door.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I was like in between sleep and awake, I guess. Uh-huh. I don't know what that's called, but,
I can't think of it right now.
Yeah. So I was in my mind's eye, I was looking at the doorway and saw this man in like an orange, it's like a, you know, those heavy jackets, but sleeveless.
Like a hunting jacket, yeah, like a hunting vest?
Yeah. In a vest, in an orange vest, like looking like wide eyed and weird, but pointing at something. And he was pointing at like a crate I had with a, lots of stuff in it. I don't know. I had like, at the time I had like Christian CDs and shit.
Okay.
And Playboy.
Just, okay. That's so Amy Grant and Playboy.
Yes, exactly. I had Amy Grant in there and a bunch of Playboys. But, in one of your favorites, it had Marilyn Monroe Playboy.
Yes.
Anyways, but I don't know what he was trying to tell me.
Did you recognize the man?
No. So what happened was I was hyperventilating.
Okay.
While I was seeing this guy, so and then she woke me up.
Okay.
And I told her what happened.
Okay.
And then, like, I guess the next night, I was sleeping, and she saw. I don't know if she was like half asleep.
Like how you were the night before. Yeah.
She saw somebody hovering above me, trying to choke me, and she. I didn't tell her what the guy looked like the night before. She's like, "This guy dressed in like an orange vest was hovering above you, trying to choke you, and you were hyperventilating at the same time." That's why I woke you up. I'm like, holy shit.
So wait, the night that you saw the guy pointing at the crates was the same night she saw him trying to choke you?
No, she
so
saw
you hyperventilated two nights in a row, yes, is what she's saying?
I guess okay. So, yeah. So the next, like, the night I saw him, I just said a guy, you know,
okay,
was that there, and then I fell back asleep. I didn't, like, explain what he looked like.
Okay.
The next night, she explained exactly what he looked like. Like, that's the same guy I saw pointing at something. So, and then...
Interesting.
A little while later, it got so bad we couldn't stay in the bedroom. We had to sleep in the living room.
You had told me that, but yeah. I guess you never really went into detail of what the activity was, why you had to sleep in the living room.
Yeah, I don't... Well, I guess right... like, okay, after that time passed, I can't remember exactly... But I was in bed, and she was awake watching TV in the living room. I was in the bedroom, and she saw, quote, me go from the bedroom to the bathroom, and then she got up and came to the bedroom.
You were still in bed.
Yeah, I was still in bed, and she woke me up saying, did you go to the bathroom? I'm like, no. She's like, I literally just saw you come from the bedroom to the bathroom. I'm like, that wasn't me.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
So that was a crazy situation. And then it just
there's stories of like the shadow self, like people seeing
the doppelganger.
Shadow, not doppelganger. No? So doppelganger is different than the shadow self. So the shadow self is like a Jungian concept.
Right.
But people say that in times of like mental and emotional stress, if you haven't been dealing with your shadow, like if you haven't been like duking it out in your brain with your shadow self can use like times of stress, like high energy in your body to manifest itself, not physically, but in like spectral form.
Right.
So there are people that like, I was literally just watching a YouTube video about this yesterday. Girl, 8 to 10 year old girl sees her dad getting out of the shower, asks her dad, "Why are you not at work?" Dad just like says nothing, closes the bathroom door, and then like never comes out of the bathroom. And the daughter realizes, "Oh, dad's still at work. What the fuck did I just see in the bathroom?" A couple of days later, mom sees almost exactly the same thing. Husband at work, but husband in house.
Oh, yeah.
It's the shadows. It's not a doppelganger.
Yeah.
It's the shadow self.
I'll listen to a ton of stories like that. Yeah.
There are stories about, like, if you're not dealing with your shadow can actually, like, possess and take over your body. It's still you. It's just the negative aspects of you. The things, the parts of you that you don't like. I'm using air quotes. The, you know, negative aspects of you.
So is that something called, like, the Peter Pan syndrome?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yep. Where like it's your body, but people are like, your personality's different. Oh, you're like more of an asshole or whatever. It's because you're not dealing with your shadow, but you're going through a time of like emotional upheaval.
Right. So I want to take a pause real quick.
Sure.
So
I know we've totally derailed this episode.
As far as this episode or this podcast goes, this is deals with paranormal.
Yeah.
And this conversation has to do with paranormal.
Yeah.
And this is basically what this podcast is about.
Yeah.
Basically talking about what we've experienced and more.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to say, if you're not into this, I'm sorry.
Like, if you just want to come for the ghost stories and nothing else.
But this is kind of a ghost story that we're talking about. So.
The paranormal is such a broad. It's so broad. Like, anything metaphysical can be considered paranormal. Yeah. Anything paranormal can be considered metaphysical. And I deal so much in the metaphysical.
Right. Spiritually. And anything not explained by, quote, science. Well, I don't want to say, quote, science, because science is real.
Science is real, yes.
Yes.
But, and there was another YouTube video that I watched. The same person, the paranormal scholar, her name is Laura Roten. She has two channels, so I'm not quite sure which channel these discussions... I think it was on the one under her name. Same person that did the In Search of the Dead documentary. She did a video on, like, the dogma of science versus the dogma of spirituality. And how, like, some people who are spiritual just completely disregard science.
Right.
And people who are scientific... Ow! Completely disregard the spiritual. When spiritual, the metaphysical, or the pseudo-scientific is, you could argue, science that just hasn't been reliably proven.
Right. Well,
scientific experiences that can't, or scientific experiments that cannot be reliably replicated. And so you could say, well, if they can't be replicated, then they're not real. But life is so random. Two different people could walk the same hiking path at the same time of day, minutes apart from each other, and have completely different experiences.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So just because something cannot necessarily be scientifically proven doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
Right.
Like, consciousness cannot be scientifically proven, and yet here we are, seemingly conscious.
Right.
Having conscious experiences, what happens to consciousness when we die?
Right.
The energy once created cannot be destroyed. It has to go somewhere. Where the fuck does it go?
Well, I am into both science and the spiritual aspect. Well, like you said, when you die, the spirit has to go somewhere. There, you have a spirit, I believe. And because we're not just basically like meat sack robots.
We're not dogs.
Right.
Like, as much as we love our pet animal doggies.
Doggies have spirits too.
They have, yes, but their consciousness and our consciousness are different.
Right. What I'm trying to say is, our spirit goes somewhere. And whether it be, like, I believe, in a different dimension, because... The whole heaven and hell thing, come on. Seriously.
Well, the Celts had Summerland.
Right.
The Norse had... fucking as many afterlives as there are fucking humans. There's hell,
right,
or Helheim if you need to. There's Asgard.
Yeah.
And then there's like 500, probably not that many, but there's like a bunch. Like, where do the warriors go to Asgard?
Right.
With Odin and in the Mead Hall, but everyone else goes to Helheim. But then there are certain things that might get you taken to somewhere else. It's just
what was it we were watching where when you die you immediately go to an underworld? What is it?
The Greeks had an underworld concept,
yeah, right?
Hades, which not to be confused with the god Hades. They were Hades. The god was also. Hades is a location and also, but different to the god,
right.
Hades.
Yeah.
So the Greeks' concept of the underworld varied because Greek civilization lasted for so many thousands of years that it kind of evolved. But they had this concept of like when you die, you... you like go to this place where you spend 1,000 years, and 1,000 years earth years or 1,000 years afterlife years, you know, we don't know, but right. Basically like you get to spend 1,000 years in this like wonderful land of like la di da di do di da di da, and then at the end you get to decide, do you want to you get to decide if you want to reincarnate, but you get to make a choice, and I can't remember what the two choices were, but it's basically it determines kind of ended up like what kind of person were you in your next life. And usually like if you make one choice, you're usually going to be more of like a kind-hearted person. And if you make the other choice, you're going to be more of like a ruthless, vindictive person.
Right.
I'm explaining it very poorly because I don't have notes in front of me. But The Lady of the Library, also on YouTube. If you can't tell, I'm a big YouTube watcher. The Lady of the Library basically broke down hell from the Greek perspective or Hades and described it in much more of a succinct and thoughtful way than what I can. So maybe do some research. But basically, like you get to choose if you want to reincarnate, and you get to choose how you want to reincarnate.
I mean, yeah, makes sense.
And that's, you know, the Scandinavians, yes, they had their Asgard, what is the name of the drinking hall, the mead hall? It's not Asgard. Asgard is the land of the gods.
I have no idea.
Yggdrasil is the tree of life. Oh my god.
I don't know, but we're like 39 minutes in.
Anyway. But they also believe that they reincarnated, and they believe that they reincarnated in and around the same group of people every single time. So that's where the tradition came from, or at the stoop, which they spoofed in the show Norseman, which is on Netflix, and I'm like so pissed.
No.
That was the best show. It was a spoof on Vikings. But anyway, the at the stoop, they also talked about it in the... that movie that I don't think you've seen, but I know I haven't seen it.
I don't know, but I know I want Netflix back because there's a bunch of shows I want to watch.
Oh my god, Midsommar, where they, like, people are throwing themselves over the cliff, committing suicide, it's speculated. I don't know that there's a lot of proof to this, but it is speculated that in Nordic societies, the elderly, towards the end of their lives, they would commit unalivement of themselves by jumping off a cliff or some way so that they could ensure that they would be reincarnated in the same village. Like, if only one person was pregnant and they were like, this baby's gonna be born before I die, I need to make sure that I come back as this baby.
Right, yeah.
They would go at the stoop.
Okay.
That's a theory. There's not, like, a lot of archaeological or historical proof that this ever happened.
Yeah, there's a lot of theories that, like, the elderly would, like, die and then or be killed because, you know, lack of food or whatever. Mm-hmm.
But they believe that they would be reincarnated back into the same village. Yeah. And when I was pregnant with Killian, we went and listened to that lecture on Atlantis, which I'm not going to get started on my theories on Atlantis.
Please don't, because we are 41 minutes in and we have not finished the 5 fun facts.
But when we were leaving, somebody made the comment of that there's a soul looking to see if you're the right host or something along the lines that, or that baby's looking for a soul or something like that.
Okay.
And, like, my worst fear is that it's my dad.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's my grandpa.
Yeah. Anyways.
Anyway!
Continuing this episode, I like our conversation. It was really good. And I hope, guys, don't dismiss this because it's really good chatter.
Yeah.
And fucking Hershey wants so much attention. He's, like, kicking me and...
I know. Should we... Okay, let me proposition this. Okay. And if you say no, you say no. Maybe should we have our previous conversation be, like, a bonus podcast episode? And maybe we should restart this podcast episode so that you don't have, like, a 5-hour episode?
No. Okay. It's fine.
I know you like longer episodes anyway.
I do.
So.
Fucking Hershey.
Hershey! Anyway. Chill the fuck out, man.
So...
Chill.
Whether you believe in the afterlife or not, I think, you know, it's basically what you want to believe. If you believe there's an afterlife, if you believe in heaven or hell, if you believe that you can be reincarnated, I think personally, it's you, whatever you believe personally. And because honestly, is there just one or two things? Come on.
I don't know.
Is there going to be a heaven or a hell? Or is there going to be a different dimension?
I firmly do not believe that there is a heaven and that there's a system of punishment and reward.
Yeah.
I do not believe. I reject that notion to my core with every fiber of my being. However, I do believe that the notion of a heaven and a hell, this is where we're going to have some issues, and this is where the conversation is going to keep going, because Christianity stole a lot of their mythology from other cultures and religions around at the time, not just Judaism. The idea of the Christian heaven and hell goes back to the Greek ideal of the afterlife, and they altered it and they changed it. You do not get punished or rewarded for the, like, same, similar with the Norse. You don't get rewarded because you died in valor.
So I've never told this to anybody.
Okay.
So when, after Kendra passed away, somebody told me, came up to me and said, so Paul, and I believe, because Kendra was, like, you know, spiritual. She believed in, like, metaphysical stuff. They said, Paul, Kendra's not in hell. She's not in heaven, but she's in a space where, in basically, in layman's term, a classroom. She's learning. She's basically, I don't know how to put this, because I forgot. Basically, she's in a classroom learning what, you know, what she did in life and what...
Debriefing.
Debriefing, basically, yeah.
Because there's many, and you can have these similar concepts in almost every, like, pre-Christian European right. afterlife. I'm not as familiar with non-European, just because as a European ancestral person, I try to stick to... Like, I don't like to appropriate or misappropriate right. other cultures. So, out of respect, I love to learn, but I try not to regurgitate.
Right.
But in a lot of European cultures, they do have that, like, you die and come back to the reincarnation. But what do you do in the period between the end of one life and the beginning of another life? There's a lot of right. speculation yeah, like, on, like...
According to some people, you go into basically, I don't know if you want to put it in this term, like, purgatory, but it's basically a classroom to where you learn and you get like, okay, so this is what you've done in life and this is what you could do to...
It's the idea. I think if I'm remembering correctly, again, I'm not... I think this is a Buddhist notion or Buddhist idea that you are reincarnated until you learn all the lessons.
Yes. And so, that is exactly what Kendra believed.
Okay. So she was a Buddhist-ish?
Yes, in a way, yes.
Okay.
So she believed that you reincarnate until you've learned everything you need to learn.
Until you reach nirvana.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you get enlightened and then you go to wherever you're.
You become, I guess, what the Christians and the Jews would classify as, like, an angel. Or I think, like, what the Celts and the Norse would classify as, like, fairies and elves.
Right.
Where you're no longer an ancestor. You are something else.
Right. So, yeah. That's, that kind of stuff makes sense.
Yeah.
You get reincarnated and you learn everything you need to learn. And then once you've learned it, like, patience.
So my question is, what happens to that process when the Earth is no longer inhabitable?
I mean, come on. Okay, so the latest... social media.
I'm not talking social media.
No. Listen, the latest social media thing, the aliens. The government has straight up said, okay, yes, there is aliens, and people are like, now, right now, they're like, okay,
duh.
So
everyone that I know is just like, everyone's talking about aliens, and none of us are like,
yeah, phased. We're not phased because if we can get through 2020, you know, fuck aliens.
Invasion. I mean, come
What's
on.
What's that?
So, the aliens,
right?
And the theory of Atlantis and Lemuria,
right?
When on, I think it was Memorial Day, Labor Day. What happens in May?
What happens in May?
What happened? What's the day in May? Is it Memorial Day or Labor Day?
Oh, that's Memorial Day.
That's Memorial Day. Okay,
Labor Day is September.
Honey, I know. One is the other, and the other is the other.
I know.
But I can't keep straight which is which.
You know how I know? Is the pools open on Memorial Day and close on Labor Day.
Yeah, but you know what? In like 2 weeks, I'm going to say the pools open on Labor Day and close on Memorial Day. So we're swimming all fucking winter, man. I 33 years, I cannot retain if Labor Day is in September or May. It doesn't matter.
As a mail carrier, I have to know because... I try to request the day after the holidays because...
Okay, yes. I know there is a holiday on a Monday in May and there is a holiday on a Monday in September. I don't know which one goes by which label. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Anyway.
Anywho, yeah. The day that happens in May.
Yes.
We were at my mom's house. We were having a cookout. Dravi was passing around a joint. And
oh, yes, yes.
I thought I took some pretty small hits off the thing.
Oh, I could tell you did not. I could tell you did not.
I thought I was pacing myself. But anyway, I'm standing in my mom's backyard going, looking at the sky, looking at the people that I care dearly about, going, none of this fucking matters. We're all going to be dead someday, and eventually an asteroid's going to come and destroy this planet, and if we don't kill ourselves off through nuclear destruction or climate catastrophe first.
Right.
So what happens if you believe in the concept of reincarnation? Where do all those souls go? That's where the Atlanteans and before them the Lemurians come in. Atlantis, as much as people want to believe that Atlantis is a lost continent in on Earth, I don't think it was. I think, right. And a lot of people say that they come from the Pleiades. I think that Atlantis and Lemuria and the Pleiades, which are stars, have a lot more to do with each other.
Hershey, calm down.
He's freaking out. Anyways, he wants attention. He wants the pets. That's all. I think that the Atlanteans and the Lemurians are our past before Earth.
Right.
I think that being eternal beings, having eternal consciousness, we just find a planet that's suitable and set up shop here. And basically possess the bodies of the life forms already existing on that planet. Right. And evolve. So Neanderthals, Homo sapiens, Homo heidelbergensis, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I know that sounds like fucking nuts. Funkin' bonkers.
No, but... like, I don't know. Listeners, if you... whatever you think. I mean, if you want to email me what you guys believe in, that would be awesome. We're going to continue this episode. So...
alrighty. Okay.
All right.
Five fun facts.
Anyways.
About cemeteries. No.
So.
You're not picking up your phone, so you're scaring me. I don't know what you're
doing. We just finished a conversation. Anyways.
We're resuming five fun facts about cemeteries.
Resuming five fun facts. We just finished number three about the high-tech memorials.
I remember that's how the whole conversation got started.
Anyways, we're going to continue our five fun facts.
I feel like a psychopath, but okay.
You're not a psychopath.
Five fun facts!
Anyways, number four. Tree cemeteries. And this is something to do with you.
Are we going to have a whole nother sidebar discussion?
Oh my God. I don't want to... Anyways, if this turns into another sidebar...
I want to be buried in a haunted forest.
In recent years, a concept known as tree cemeteries or green cemeteries has gained popularity. Instead of traditional headstones, these cemeteries use biodegradable urns or burial pods that transform the deceased remains into trees, allowing their legacy to live on through nature. And that's exactly what you want, right? Yes.
There is a green cemetery on the Arkansas-Missouri border, and there's one up in Kansas City, and that is all that there is in the state of Missouri. I want to be buried in one of those two places. I think these are more like green cemetery meets garden cemetery. I don't know that they 100% rely on the trees. It's a cemetery where you're allowed to be buried, not embalmed and not in a concrete vault. Just put me in a wooden or wicker casket, not a coffin. No, a coffin, not a casket.
Well, these are specific biodegradable urns.
Which requires a lot more energy to manufacture. Because some of them, it's either like a giant Jiffy peat pot that the body is placed in the fetal position inside of, which is massive. Or the body is the peat pot because you have to freeze dry and grind or cremate the remains. So it still takes energy. But anyway.
All right. Number five. Cemetery symbolism.
Oh.
Cemeteries often feature various symbols on tombstones with specific meanings. Mm-hmm. For example, an anchor symbolizes hope.
Oh.
A butterfly represents the soul.
Okay.
And a broken column indicates a life cut short.
Oh.
The study of these...
Interesting, because I usually see butterflies on, like, baby and little kid graves.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was, like, something to do with that.
Like, a lot of people don't know the symbolism.
Right.
But they, you know, put butterflies and stuff just to put butterflies. But, right. Yeah, that... butterflies do represent the soul, and broken columns
indicate
life cut short. The study of these symbols is called taphophilia.
Oh.
Or grave iconography.
Okay.
And some people find it fascinating to explore the hidden meanings behind cemetery artwork, which is it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Like... there is, I don't know, it's to me, the if you can find something to learn about, this is one of the most fascinating
things. So you're saying if you're going to hyperfixate on something, hyperfixate
on
this.
No, like if you have a hyperfixation, like this is one of the most interesting things, like learning about, what did I say, taphophilia, or...
How is that spelled?
T-A-P-H-O-P-H-I-L-I-A. Taphophilia.
Tombstone tourist.
Basically.
That's what Google said. A taphophile is a tombstone tourist.
Yeah, or a grave iconographer.
Okay. So...
yeah, it's very interesting.
Taphophilia syndrome, a love of funerals, cemeteries, and the rituals of death.
Okay, well.
Some people like to take photographs, do a rubbing, or even draw the tombstone they are visiting.
To me, that's not too weird, because that's like, okay, you have an interesting... it's basically doing something different.
Yeah. We know it's very, I love different.
It's not, I don't do that, but it's really, really interesting.
Yeah.
So, in conclusion to the five fun facts, remember that while cemeteries can be intriguing and beautiful places to visit, it's essential to respect them as places of remembrance and honor the departed.
Yes.
Always be mindful of the rules and etiquette when visiting cemeteries.
And walk backwards out. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know what that means.
So a lot of people say, like, if you go, like, ghost hunting in a cemetery, we'll say, or paranormal investigating, as I prefer to say, you have to walk backwards because it confuses the spirits and they can't follow you home.
Okay, never heard that, but makes sense a little bit.
I mean, it doesn't, but... you think ghosts are that dumb that they can't follow you if you're walking backwards?
I've said this in the first or second episode that I used to live up a hill from a cemetery. Mm-hmm. And I used to go there, like, every weekend to the cemetery at dark, around midnight, with some friends. And it's gated, so we'd go through the gate... mm-hmm. And go to the back of the cemetery just to hang out and chill out. And one night, there was this big crash from one of the trees toward the front of the cemetery. And we all freaked out. And we went up there and we looked around where we heard it. There was no limbs, nothing that came crashing down. And we got freaked out and we left.
Because you were being disrespectful.
Probably.
You were partying.
But we were teenagers, and we were... this was...
I mean, that's what teenagers do. I used to go ghost hunting in cemeteries.
This was the late 90s. Come on.
Yeah. I used to go ghost hunting in cemeteries, but we were never... I didn't think that we were super-duper disrespectful. I mean, it definitely wasn't respectful, but it wasn't, like, getting drunk and partying in the cemetery.
I mean, we weren't disrespectful. We would, like, hang out in the back of the cemetery. We would look around at... because these were, like, very, very old gravestones.
Okay.
And we would look at them and, like, we were basically in awe. Like, okay, this, it's unbelievable. Out in the middle of nowhere, there's a gravestone from the early 20th century or late.
How's that unbelievable?
Well, to me, it's like, wow, this cemetery has been here for this long.
Yeah.
as a teenager. It's like,
okay. I mean, okay.
For me, it's insane.
As a teenager, yeah, being a stupid teenager.
Yeah.
Teenagers are dumb.
Yeah.
But basically.
Don't be afraid of the dark.
Hi, guys. It's Sober Paul and Ashley here.
Hello.
So, what ended up was supposed to be a short episode, what I thought, ended up being a 2.5 episode.
2.5 hour.
Yeah, 2.5 hour episode. Five fun facts ended up being an hour long because of our sidetracks.
Sorry.
I enjoyed recording that episode. I really did. Did you?
I mean, I had fun until the next morning when hungover Paul was a whiny little baby.
Oh my gosh, I was so whiny. I was so hungover. I haven't drank like that since my birthday. Yeah. Last December.
Oh, that was fun for me too.
Yeah. So I hope hopefully you guys enjoyed that. Five fun facts about cemeteries.
The one episode is five fun facts?
Yes. This episode.
The whole episode.
Guys, it's been like a week since we recorded almost.
Yeah. Well, and you edit them. I don't... Yeah. I am just along for the ride. I don't listen because I don't like the sound of my own voice. You edit them, so you know what's going on. I have no idea what even was said, except I know that I went off on a lot of tangents.
I mean, we had fun. And I hope people enjoyed it. This is part one of three.
The next, oh, no.
The next episode is going to be about the history. And I've got... Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be... I think this whole episode is really good.
The whole three episodes?
Well, yeah. The three-parter.
I think it's good. I'm
sorry. If you guys do...
My bad.
Don't. So, yeah. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Like I said, I had a lot of fun. Hope you enjoy the next two. And then after that, we will have...
Is it the bonus episode for Texas?
Yes, bonus episode for Texas. So, if you have any stories or requests of anything you want to hear about or know anyone who does, please email me at afraidishpodcast@gmail.com, Instagram and Facebook at afraidishpodcast. All the links will be in the show notes. I do have this on YouTube as audio, not video. You can listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and almost anywhere you listen to podcasts. And again, SiriusXM discontinued and is shutting down Stitcher as of August 29th, 2023. So you would have to find another way to listen.
I'm sure people that use Stitcher are aware of the fact that their platforms...
I'm just saying.
Kaputskis.
Yeah.
The five people that use Stitcher.
There's way more than five, but I don't know. Anyways, also rate and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, I guess, if that's still a thing.
No.
No?
I don't think so.
Did it switch over to Apple Podcasts?
I'm not an Apple user.
I don't know.
But I'm pretty sure that Apple Music is for music and Apple Podcasts is for podcasts. Okay. I could be wrong.
Well, rate and review anywhere you can. Five stars, please. And until next time, don't be afraid of the dark.
Be afraid-ish of what's in it.
Bye.
Bye.